Hello, everyone. It's April 15th, 2015, and this is Dodgers Audio. Happy Jackie Robinson Day to you. Wherever you may be, I hope you're gearing up, getting your brooms out, because the Dodgers are ready for a sweep. Two nights in a row, two games, both 6-5, both walk-off wins with a single by a Dodger with men in scoring position. Both on nights where Dodger pitchers start out slow, giving up multiple home runs and looking like they're going to get shelled. Both nights, the pitchers settle down, find the groove, and keep the Dodgers in it for heroics. And we all kind of sat there and watched this new front office put this team together. And guys like Don Mattingly and other experts, you know, shouted from the rooftops, "Hey, we've put together a real team, quote unquote teams, you know, from top to bottom." And you know, the reality is you don't know if that's going to gel. You don't know if they're just spouting off the company line because they got rid of Matt Kemp and they got rid of Hanley Ramirez, and you're thinking to yourself, "Well, there goes the fantasy squad." But after eight games, the Dodgers are 5-3. A lot of these games have been tied, or the Dodgers have been down with at least three innings to go in the game, which, you know, they're throwing out the cliche overused grit factor after every game, but I'm starting to believe it. I mean, these Dodgers are finding ways to win in April, which we'll see if this translates into finding ways to win in October. But right now, the Dodgers have about as many come-from-behind wins through eight games in the season as they did through 162 games last season, which is just incredible. If you think about it, when the Dodgers were down by runs in the late innings, it was just as shaky as it feels now as it was last year, because the bullpen still hasn't been figured out. But Matt Kemp and Hanley Ramirez felt like they were feast or famine, and this ball club did not find ways to manufacture runs. And a lot of these games, you know, the Dodgers won a lot of games, 96 games in 2014, but most of those games were blowout wins because they just slugged you to death. And this year, the addition of Jimmy Rollins is proving to be extremely invaluable. Went down and got golfed one from his ankles over the second baseman's head to really start that ninth inning rally. After Justin Turner put one through the right side, Justin Turner tweeted to me after the game, because I tweeted about his base running quote unquote gaffe at third base, and then basically he must have scooped up every Twitter handle that tweeted at him negatively, or at least what he thought was negatively, and tweeted out, "You know, you guys must have wanted me to stay on third so they could turn the 6-4-3 double play." And then he said, "Shush," like the bully in Encino Man, which I love the reference, but I have to disagree with Justin Turner. I think that's an arbitrary look at it. Baseball is reactionary, and the plays happen because of what you do. And I feel like you've been taught from age 8 years old to freeze on a hard hit grounder when you're the tying run on third base with no outs in the bottom of the ninth. He's got to look at Justin there, and then he's got to turn to throw to second, and then they've got to turn to throw it to first, and then they'd have to turn to throw it home, because the reality is it would be Justin's 90-foot speed from third to home versus the Mariners' infield being able to turn the ball from third to second to first to home. And I think at that point he probably scores. But the moment Justin Turner took off for home, once it was hit, he was caught in a pickle and it was dead. Now, the Dodgers got really lucky that Adrian Gonzalez drew a walk. And not lucky, because Adrian Gonzalez was really good at baseball, but fortunate that he drew the walk, because if Adrian, you know, goes after one, and, you know, even the best baseball players in baseball, one out of three. So, I mean, there was a 66% chance, at least, on average, that the Dodgers weren't going to get a run on that, because now they had, you know, outs at easy outs at second and first if the ball is put in play as a grounder. And fortunately, they walk Adrian Gonzalez, and the bases are loaded. And now you're thinking to yourself, oh, God, the Dodgers just found a way to get men on third base with no outs and still not score them, which seems to be a theme for the Dodgers the last 2-3 years, because the double play ball was now in effect with Howie Kendrick, who was not having that great of a night, save for a flare single to right field in the seventh. It didn't end up bringing anything in, but broken bat single to the right side. Once again, I can't say it enough. This front office, these new guys, you know, Jimmy Rollins, Howie Kendrick, Alex Guerrero. They're finding ways to win baseball games, and it's really exciting to watch. Now, which brings me to my final point. New faces, Alex Guerrero. The guy is hitting the cover off the ball. In spring training, he refused to go down. He mentioned that it was in his contract that he didn't have to go down back to the minor leagues. Played well enough in spring training to get himself into the ball club. And now that he's got his opening, he's been absolutely tatering the ball. And I'm sorry. Everybody wants to, you know, romanticize Juan Uribe's last two seasons, but I remember his first season and a half with the Dodgers, and so far in 2015, this looks very much like shades of old Juan Uribe. And the old adage of you can't lose your position to a guy because you had an injury, I think that's antiquated, and I think Donnie is smarter than that. And there's more to managing than just being a player's guy and understanding, about, you know, playing the hot hand. I really do think that Alex Guerrero is the future, and the fan base wants to see it, and I think the front office probably wants to see it too. And Juan Uribe is not going to get re-signed by this Dodgers club. If Juan Uribe can be a good calming presence off the bench as Andre Ethier has been, then why not put the kid in and have Alex Guerrero continue to play his hot hand? And if he sucks, then you move him right back to the bench. And then you bring him in on pinch hitting. But the reality is, you're not going to know unless you give this kid at-bats. And you're paying him a lot more money than you're paying Juan Uribe if you amortize his signing bonus over these seasons that he's with the Dodgers. So my play, if in my mind, is give Alex Guerrero as many bats as possible until he cools off, because right now the kid can't miss the ball, and it's incredible to see. I love it. And we talked about this at the beginning of the season on the first podcast, that we might have to get a t-shirt that says the Cuban Missile Crisis, or maybe start serving some Cuban food at Dodger Stadium. So, in my humble opinion, I will be legitimately disappointed if I don't see Alex Guerrero in tonight's starting lineup. According to Don Mattingly, or at least the precedent that he set yesterday, we probably won't, meaning he'll be a pinch hit threat off the bench as he was last night, and we all saw how that worked out. So, anyways, thank you for listening today. It was a quick one. It's Jackie Robinson Day. They're giving out a sweet jersey at Dodger Stadium this evening. The only catch is that it has to say Bank of America on the damn sleeve. I would actually pay for that replica Jackie jersey if it didn't say Bank of America on the sleeve. Anyways, have a great day. It's a Wednesday, hump day, get through the week. No better way to do it than with a little bit of Dodgers. My apologies if you're not on Time Warner Cable, because so far this season has been awesome to see. So last but not least, just want to thank everybody for listening to another edition of Dodgers Audio. Again, happy Jackie Robinson Day to you. It is a very important and big day for everyone in all sports, all types of business. I'll try to do some more podcasts more frequently in the future, but so long.